I saw this article. You know how much I love jokes, and they're great jokes. But yesterday there is an article about dad jokes. You know, dad jokes, the ones that are always the best ones. So I read this article. They actually did a study on dad jokes, and it's actually good for your kids to hear dad jokes. And it's a benefit to kids for dad jokes. And they said basically it helps your kids overcome embarrassment. So when you embarrass your kids with stupid dad jokes, evidently it's a benefit for your kids to overcome that embarrassment. They realize, I'm not going to die if you're so embarrassed. But so this morning we do have some good dad jokes, and they were based on some people in our church here that are wood carvers. So these are custom made, custom carved. So where do wood carvers like to get their ice cream? From Carvel. Carvel. Okay, yep. Dad jokes, remember. What is a wood carver's favorite holiday? Thanksgiving, because you get to carve the turkey. And then the last one, what does a wood carver's wife tell him when he's misbehaving? Stop being naughty. You know, naughty pine, okay, yeah. So before we jump in, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your greatness, your goodness to us. Lord, we just ask that you will speak to us this morning. Have the Spirit just touch our hearts and our minds. Help us to put stuff down that we might have been carrying all week and just really concentrate on what you want to speak to us this morning. Help us to serve you and just speak to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So once again, we're in the book of James. And we're ending chapter 3, but once again, the book of James. Who was James? James, he was the half-brother of Jesus. Was James a believer of Jesus as the Messiah during Jesus' ministry? No, he was not. He did not prefer Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah, until after Jesus' death, his murder, his burial, and once he rose again and James came face to face with Jesus after resurrection, then he became a believer and, as we know, was one of the pillars of the early Christian church in Jerusalem. James, that's the guy we're looking at once again, and we've been studying him for the last few weeks. So this morning, James 3. James 3, we're going to be starting in verse 13. And the message today, it's called Fork in the Road of Wisdom. Why is it called that? I really don't know. I just was trying to think of a good name because it's talking about two types of wisdom today. So when you think about walking down a road or you have a decision to make or you're in your car and you have this fork in the road, that's what this sermon is. You have this fork in the road, and there's two types of wisdom. James is talking about two types of wisdom today. And it made me think of a story when I was a kid. You know, you have mom wisdom, right? You have moms that have all this wisdom. Then you have little kid wisdom. When I was a little kid, I had my wrist rocket. You remember the wrist rockets that go on your screenshot? I took my wrist rocket. I was 10 years old, and there's a reflector on the side of the barn, and I was like, okay, I can hit that thing. So I took my wrist rocket, ran to the kitchen. My mom's like, be careful. Don't shoot your eye out. I'm like, yeah, little kid. My mom had mom wisdom. Jeff, as a 10-year-old, had 10-year-old wisdom. Big difference there on wisdom. So I went up to that reflector. I pulled back with my marbles. Missed the first one, missed the second one. I was like, okay, I'm going to get this. So what do I do? I got closer, right? So I went right up to the thing. I said, I'm going to nail it. Mom wisdom is be careful. Kid wisdom is I don't have the understanding yet of ricochet. So I pulled back, I hit it, and it came back and hit me right in the eye. Yeah. So my mom was right, but mom wisdom compared to kid wisdom. James today is saying there's godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, earthly wisdom. And that's what James is talking about this morning as we get down to verse 13. James 3, starting in 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor freight, I've been reading this all week. And I keep shopping on some stuff because we're redoing a warehouse and I go into Harbor Freight. So I keep calling it Harbor Freight every time I read. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Once again, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. James is talking about this godly wisdom in this first verse that only comes from being wise and having understanding. And that wisdom about the wisdom and understanding is really what we talked about in chapter 1. Remember going through trials, and we're supposed to ask for wisdom. If we're lacking wisdom, we're supposed to ask for wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 calls out wisdom that we're supposed to be having for godly, heavenly wisdom. And it's this, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So James is saying, first, to get this wisdom that we were talking about is, it's the fear of God. The fear of the Lord, number one, first, to begin to get that wisdom, and then that provides this understanding. That's what James is calling out in verse 13. Then he talks about also in verse 13 about the deeds. So the heavenly wisdom that James is talking about here, wisdom number one, is an understanding, a good life. So as he talked about in chapter 1, a good life is when you're going through trials and you're going through your life and you have all these things taking place, you still are living a godly life. So trials are taking place, all this stuff's happening, but you're still living a godly life. And then deeds, which we talked about in chapter 2, that deeds as believers were living for the Lord, and we're following what the Spirit leads in our life, then these deeds should be coming out of our life. So these are the two things that we talked about in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Then James goes in and starts to talk about earthly wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it. Last week, James talked about the sailboats, right? They were sailing area, so they talked about the sailboats and the rudder, about our tongue. This week, he's calling out harbor bitter envy. What happens in a harbor? In a harbor, there's these boats, right? In a harbor, you go through, it's the docks, you go through and you look around and there's all these boats just sitting there idle. It's boat storage, right? Or they call it mooring. And there's some different types of storage of boats. But in a harbor, these boats are sitting there idle. They're not working. They're not out fishing. They're not tugboating up the river or across the bay. They're just there, sitting there in the harbor. James is using that example. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. We have these two types of wisdom. Earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. James is saying for earthly wisdom, if we are harboring envy or selfish ambition, it's sin. It leads to what? It leads to where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and evil of every practice. If we're harboring envy in our heart, maybe it's to a family member, maybe it's to your boss, maybe it's to someone that's maybe even passed away, and you harbor this envy, this desire of this envy, and it's in your heart, it's a practice of evil. He's saying, do not hold on to those things. Or selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. How many times as people, and we're all at fault on these things, right? How many times do we as people have selfish ambition when we want something and we'll overlook something else? I say there's this wisdom that we know we're supposed to do, that the Lord wants us to do, but we have what? Selfish ambition. And it becomes this desire that we have, and we begin to focus on ourselves and not what the Lord wants us to do. These two things, earthly wisdom, if we harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition, those things are earthly wisdom. They're of the devil. They're unspiritual. In fact, when I was looking at this, you know, Satan, the deceiver, really only has to, if we read this correctly, only has to concentrate on two areas of our life. You know, a lot of times we think about all the sin that takes place and all the temptation. Satan The reality of what James is saying here is Satan only has to concentrate on two areas in our lives of people to make us fall, to make us fall into temptation, to deny Christ, or whatever it may be. Two areas, which is bitter envy, number one, which we've all done, right? I know I have. We've all done it. We've had selfish ambition, those two things, into our life of those two things, a bitter envy, a selfish ambition, leads to what? And this is what James says. James says it leads to, verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Practice. That's the concentration can be on those two things in our life for us to all of a sudden fall into multiple types of sin in those two areas. And he talks about disorder. James talks about disorder because what do we know about God? God is very orderly, right? And there's an order to things. Even going into a restaurant, AJ's, how many have been to AJ's Pizza? Right, so if you go to H-Pizza down the road and you want to walk into the restaurant, there's an order to get into the restaurant. You have to step up on the curb, reach out, open the door, and then you walk in. That's the order to get into the restaurant. If you say, well, I'm going to not follow that, I'm going to make this disorganized and not follow the order, I'm not going to open the door. You step up on the curb, and you run right into the glass door. So you try it again. Hey, I'm going to try it again. You just keep running into the door, because the order to get into the restaurant is step up on the curb, open the door, walk into the restaurant. If you don't follow that order, it's chaos. You just keep running into the glass door. So there is an order. James is saying that with envy, selfish ambition, it leads to disorder and every evil practice. Satan then knows that he can concentrate on those two things in our life. How many times do we hold on to stuff that we know we shouldn't be holding on to and we just don't want to drop it? That's going to lead further down the road to every sinful practice that we see can happen. We also see Satan talk with the disorder. Satan, if you ever looked at like society, just our society right now today, the disorder, Satan's always going against what God has put out there as order. Creation, right? So for thousands of years, people knew that there was something bigger than themselves that created the universe, that created the world. And a couple hundred years ago, then all of a sudden it changed to, well, there's not God, this is evolution. And they had this evolution practice of things evolved into where we're at today. God, the creation, the order, and we know with creation, and you can talk to multiple scientists that know that there is something bigger out there than us, than ourselves, because how detailed our bodies are, how detailed the earth is, even our atmosphere, on what needs to take place, there is an order. Satan wants to trick us and say that there doesn't have to be there. So Satan's always going against God's plan from creation to even marriage, right? We know that in the garden, man and woman were together. First unit, that first family unit. And we were supposed to procreate, raise our children, and love the Lord and teach our children to grow in the Lord. Well, obviously, society now is telling us, well, you can marry whoever you want multiple times. It doesn't matter. That's earthly wisdom. And hey, as long as it's legal, you can get the divorce paper and you can marry whoever you want. Now, we know that there's a lot of things always involved there, but that's what takes place. We have this order, and then we have this constant disorder that Satan is running into our life, running into our society. And that disorder is the earthly wisdom. And so many times when we're at that fork in the road, and we look to see which way do I need to go here, we hear in our mind, in our spirit, we hear something that might be coming from bitter envy, or something that might be coming from selfish ambition. That's earthly wisdom. What's heavenly? What's godly wisdom? Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. There's a list here. I'm just going to read them and then we'll talk about it. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. Wisdom that comes from heaven, first of all, is pure. Pure. How does that look? In my business, we're in the food business. So when you have an ingredient statement, you're supposed to follow that statement. So what's in the product? Sugar, cocoa, and salt, let's say. That statement, you can't adulterate from that statement. It has to be pure to that statement. So if you're buying natural peanut butter and you look on the back of the label and it says peanut, it can't have salt in there or sugar. because that's adulterated from what the label says based on what the FDA mandated labeling. Wisdom needs to be pure. Heavenly wisdom is pure. Not, we had the other day and somebody was saying something about one of the kids and they were like, well, it's just a little bit. And I'm like, well, okay, let's put a little bit. Can I say this in church? I'm going to say it. Hey, let's put a little dog poop in your drink. It's okay. I mean, it's just a little bit, right? Well, it's adulterated. So, that is, it's pure. We're supposed to be pure. Poop from heaven is pure, unadulterated. No poop in it. It's peace-loving. Peace-loving. We're supposed to love peace. We're supposed to strive for peace. We're supposed to be peace-loving people. It's not to say we're supposed to be pushed to the ground and trampled on. We're supposed to be peace-loving. We're supposed to strive to be peaceful. Consider it. James talked about this before. Love your neighbor as yourself. But be considerate. You're helping your neighbors. You're helping those you come in contact. Pure wisdom from heaven is considerate. Wisdom from heaven is submissive. As people, we're supposed to be submissive. We're submissive to our authority. We have our families where we have submissive that takes place within our family. And respecting each other. There's a way to our governing authorities. Now, I will say this, I always like to say this when I talk about being submissive to our government. Praise the Lord, we live in the United States of America. We are supposed to be submissive to what as people of the United States? We are obviously God, but the Constitution. We as people are governed by the Constitution of the United States of America, just as our leaders are. So we're supposed to be submissive. So if our governors and if our lawmakers veer off of what our Constitution says, we have, as being submissive to our Constitution, we have the duty to what? To remind them and to hold back to what the Constitution says. Not every culture has that. Some cultures with communism, it's like, this is it, or you die. And that's how their governing authority is. So praise the Lord for the United States. Praise the Lord that I live here. Wisdom from heaven is full of mercy. We're not supposed to be harsh and pound people down. We're supposed to show mercy, show love to those to people. Full of good fruit. In our life, when we step back and look at it, and if we're walking with wisdom, do we have good fruit that's taking place and coming out of our life? There's so many times that we do things, and you step back and look at the correlation between the bitter envy, right, and good fruit. If we're harboring bitter envy, what typically takes place with an individual if you're harboring bitter envy towards somebody? That comes out, right? When you harbor bitter envy. But if you're being and living with good fruit, with the spirit of good fruit, for the intent of good fruit to come out of our being, there's a big difference there. Between those two wisdoms, between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. Because earthly wisdom wants us to be like everybody else. Impartial. We're not supposed to show favoritism. We talked about this the other week, James. Pull that out. About looking at the poor man compared to the rich man. We're supposed to be impartial, not judging. We're supposed to be impartial. And sincere. Are we sincere as people? So as we're looking at this, these two types of wisdom, as we maybe, as you raise kids, you're continuing to raise kids, or raising grandkids, or making decisions based on whatever those decisions that have to be with work, with family, however those decisions have taken place, how are we, when we come to that fork in the road of wisdom, which way are we going to turn? Are we that 10-year-old kid who's using the 10-year-old wisdom when mom has, you know, more superior wisdom? Mom's wisdom. So you have that wisdom. You have God's wisdom. We have the wisdom that God has set into place, which we've talked about before, that God has wisdom since the beginning of time that he set into place, that was there with God, ruling on how things were set up into the order of the events of all to move forward. That wisdom was the beginning. James is telling us you would rather look at earthly wisdom that we know is from the deceiver, from Satan. It's bad. And so many times we fall into this habitual problem because the world's marketing itself to us all the time, and so many times we're not fulfilling our spirit with the Word of God and concentrating and staying connected to what the Bible wants us to do. So many times. And then we go into it and we fall into bitter envy and we harbor this stuff in our life. And our ship sits there in the dock and it's not doing anything, but it's just chewing on us and we're just mad. We just had this envy and this like of something or somebody, and it eats us. And it becomes what? It can become and lead to every evil practice, a disorder that can lead to every evil practice. So, we should be concentrating, and I say should be, and I say we as all of us, we all should be concentrating on what the Spirit wants us to do, what God has set before us on heavenly, pure wisdom. That's where we need to remind ourselves to always come back. So, when we find ourselves holding on to something, that envy. Now, maybe you guys aren't like me, but I'll tell you what, I have to pray about this all the time. I can hold on to some stuff sometimes. I'm sure you guys aren't like that, right? Nobody does that. But we have that envy, and we hold on to stuff. And we need to pray through those things. And we need to pray that the Lord will soften our hearts when it comes to that, to help us to be more like the heavenly wisdom, with those qualities that James is saying, this is heavenly wisdom. That's the world that we need to be in. That's where we need to be living our life, with each other, with our family, in our workplace, in our churches, in our community. That's where we need to be. So where are you? Are you a peacemaker? Are we looking for that harvest of righteousness as James ends off with verse 18? Is that who we are? Or are we more on the side of we're going to hold on to our earthly wisdom because we're comfortable there? And that's where we want to stay. That's not where I want to stay, although sometimes it's very easy to stay there. Let's close in prayer. Father God, Proverbs is wonderful, Lord, and I thank you that you have told us and talked to us about wisdom and have shown us the power and the understanding that you have given through wisdom, that we can also understand that wisdom. Lord, I know for me, help me not to fill my heart with bitter envy. Help me not to be selfish in my process, a selfish ambition. I know that can, as we see, Lord, so clear for us what James is telling us. help all of us, Father, but especially I know help me. I can speak for my heart. Help me this morning. And I pray that the Spirit will speak to all of us on where we need to concentrate on these two wisdoms right here. These two simple steps of wisdom on where we need to be and what we need to do. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this morning that we can worship and come together in a free nation and worship you and study your word. We pray for so many brothers and sisters throughout the world who are in persecution and being persecuted and hiding as they worship. We pray for their safety and we pray for their blessing upon them as well. And we thank you for your love for us. In the name of Christ. Amen.